Our text for today is continuing through the Sermon on the Mount, and it's in the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 6, starting in verse 5. We continue to listen to the words of Jesus as he teaches us. Matthew chapter 6, begin reading in verse 5. And Jesus, as he continues to teach his disciples, he says, "And when you pray, do not be like the hypocrites, for they love to pray standing in the synagogues and on the street corners to be seen by others. Truly, I tell you, they have received their reward in full. But when you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many rewards. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This, then, is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, your on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins." May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word today. This text doesn't really seem like a Mother's Day sermon, or at least a traditional one, but it is continuing in our sermon series on the Sermon on the Mount. And even though it doesn't seem like a traditional text for this day, I do believe there is a connection. For many people, not all, but for many, Mom is the one in our early years who teaches us how to pray. If a passing stranger walking through the rural village of Epworth, England, on any given day in the early 1700s had happened to peer through the window of the home of the rector of the local Anglican church there in Epworth, that stranger may have seen a very strange and unusual sight. Depending on the time of day, this observer may have seen a woman sitting in a chair, surrounded by 10 children who were playing or reading or doing whatever they were up to, but the woman sitting in the chair had her kitchen apron pulled up over her head, sitting there with her children all around. Why was her apron over her head? Were her children driving her crazy? Maybe that might have been the case. But underneath her apron, this devout woman was praying. This faithful, dedicated mother spent at least 2 hours every day praying. And she taught her children to pray. And her prayers and the prayers of her children literally changed this world. We'll come back to this mother with the apron over her head later in the sermon. But for now, picture her, think about her as we think about the words of Jesus in our text for today. The last time we heard from Jesus in the Sermon on the Mount, he was telling us how we should not give. We learned from Jesus ways to give that were pleasing to God and other ways that were not so pleasing to God. Jesus taught us the importance of doing whatever we are doing for the right reasons and not with wrong motives or with wrong intentions. As we continue through the Sermon on the Mount, now Jesus wants to talk to us about prayer. And once again, Jesus begins by telling us how we should not pray. And once again, just like last week, he uses a word that is an important word. It is the word hypocrites. Hippocrates in the Greek. It means actor. It means pretender. And he says our prayer should not be like those who Jesus considers to be hypocrites. What were their prayers like? One big problem for those Jesus considered to be hypocrites were they weren't really interested in talking to God. They were more interested in being seen and heard by other people. In other words, their prayers weren't conversations or honest conversations with God. They were messages, speeches, and given so that they might be supported and encouraged and enlightened by those around them. At the time of Jesus, there were problems that had developed in the prayer lives of the faithful people. Their problems are not unlike some of the problems we face today. What might those problems be? William Barclay, a noted New Testament theologian, offers five problems or concerns that the faithful people of Jesus' day faced in their prayer lives. Listen to these concerns and see if they are not relevant to our lives today. Number one, he says, prayer had become formalized. In the Jewish religion of Jesus' day, there was hardly an event or an occasion in life that did not have some kind of prayer, a formal prayer written, prescribed for that event in life. There was a prayer before and a prayer after every meal. There were prayers upon seeing light. There were prayers about fire. There were prayers about lightning. There were prayers about seeing the new moon. There was a prayer to be offered for the rain that comes. There were prayers offered for the seas and the lake. There were prayers offered for receiving good news. There were prayers one should give upon entering or leaving a city. There was even a prayer that was offered for buying new furniture. If you went and got a new chair for your house, when you brought it into your home, you were to offer a prescribed prayer to bless that chair before using it. Now, these kinds of prayers had good intentions. Their goal and their purpose was to remind people that God is a part of all of life. And in every part of our life, we should pause to recognize that God is a part of that event. But the problem was these formalized prayers began to formalize faith. In other words, the spiritual lives of the people became rigid and formal like the prescribed prayers. The rabbis in Jesus' day even recognized this problem. They said, if a person says the prayers as if to get through a set task, then that is not a prayer, they said. This formalized spirituality, certainly not confined to Jesus' day. It can happen to us as well. If I'm honest, there are times in my life when I'm praying, but I'm going through the motions. I'm saying words, but I'm not connected with what I'm saying. That happens to all of us, and Jesus warns against this formalized kind of prayer. That was one issue. A second was there were set times for the Jewish people to pray. The faithful Jewish person prayed at 9 a.m., noon, and 3 p.m. every day. Whatever they were doing at those times, they were to stop, pause, and offer a prayer. We know other religions do the same. Our Muslim friends pause 5 times a day. In Muslim countries, the call comes from the minaret 5 times a day to pause, stop, whatever you're doing, and to pray. And again, these prayers are intended to remind people that God is part of all of life, and we should always pause to recognize God's presence. But again, the danger is it can formalize our relationship with God. If we pause simply because we're obligated or required to and simply go through the motions without pausing to have an honest conversation, are those prayers really meaningful? In our personal lives, if we only spoke to a spouse or our children or grandchildren or family at set times and only said the same thing to them over and over again, would those relationships be meaningful for us? Jesus says prayer is about your relationship with God. Do not limit that relationship to prescribe specific times of prayer. A third problem was prayer was connected to certain places. The synagogue and the temple had become symbolically important to the Jewish people. And some rabbis even taught that prayer was not honest and true unless it was offered at the temple or in the synagogue. But once again, there's a danger. The danger is confining God to a certain or a particular place. We even remember in the book of Acts, Peter and John in chapter 3 are going to the temple at the prescribed time of prayer, 3 o'clock in the afternoon. There's nothing wrong with that, but if we confine God to a certain specific place, we forget our relationship with God is not about geography or place. It is about relationship. The fourth problem was that prayers tended to be very long, especially prayers in public. Jesus specifically says, "Do not pray like pagans who keep on babbling everything, thinking that they will be heard because of their many words." The idea was that the longer the prayer, the more pious and holy was the person who was praying. Now, once again, that idea can be seen even throughout Christian history. In the 18th century in Scotland, worship length determined devotion. In the worship services 200 years ago in Scotland, there was a verse-by-verse lecture on scripture which lasted at least 1 hour. That was followed by a sermon that was also at least 1 hour. And in between these were hymns, and there were long, long prayers. One person writing about these worship services says, "The efficacy of prayer was measured by its ardor and its fluency, and not the least by its fervid lengthiness." The idea here is that God doesn't necessarily want to answer my prayer, but if I just keep on pestering God with many, many words, eventually God will give in. Jesus says that is not how God behaves. There is no connection between verbosity and piety. Say what you will to God, but do not feel that you need to go on and on demonstrating how holy and faithful you are. The fifth problem was people prayed so they would be seen and heard by others. We've already talked a little bit about this, but it's important to note it again, for Jesus emphasized it. Now, this is not saying public prayer is wrong. If you're asked to pray in public, it's appropriate and important. But when we offer these prayers, it's not about using the right words and how others will think about us. It is about an honest conversation with God. Given these issues, Jesus then tells his disciples how we should pray. He offers us the model prayer, the Lord's Prayer. It is a much beloved, meaningful prayer. But think about how this prayer counters all of those problems that had made their way into the lives, the praying lives of the faithful people. First, this prayer from Jesus was not a formalized prayer. Now, we often use it in a formal and structured way, and there's nothing wrong with that, but this prayer was offered by Jesus as an example. It is a model prayer. It is one that we should learn from and apply to our lives. This then is how you should pray. Jesus didn't say every time you pray, use these exact words. Here on the sermon, in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus offers this simple model prayer for our benefit, teaching us how to pray. Also, there's no set time with this prayer. There's no specific place that we have to be in to say this prayer. And this prayer is also extraordinarily brief. Have you ever noticed the brevity as a trademark characteristic of Jesus? In his very first sermon, Luke tells us that Jesus opened the scroll. He found the place in Isaiah he wanted to read. He read the verses, and then he sat down. Everyone was looking at him in confused amazement. And then Jesus said, his entire sermon in one sentence. Today, this scripture is fulfilled in your hearing. Eight little words in English. And Luke tells us everyone spoke well of him. Of course they did, right? Eight words in a sermon. His brevity spoke to how he lived. But in this prayer, the Lord's Prayer, 50 words in English. That's it. 50 words. This is how you should pray. Not lengthy, just honest conversation. And finally, Jesus emphasizes prayer is to be done in private. It's not to be an ostentatious show for others, but instead, when we pray, Jesus says, go into the house, even go into the closet, Jesus says. It is to be an honest conversation of listening and talking between you and God. Well, back to the woman with the apron over her head. The woman was Susanna Wesley. Two of her 10 children gathered around her that day were John Wesley and Charles Wesley, key leaders in the formation of the Methodist Church, builders of the kingdom of God. Their lives were strongly influenced and affected by the faithful prayers of their devout mother. For not only did Susanna Wesley pray at least 2 hours every day with her head under an apron, she also made a promise to God that she would never spend more time in leisure entertainment than she did in prayer and Bible study. Every day, her promise was, God, I will never spend more time in leisure entertainment than in praying and studying your word. She knew the importance that she had and the influence on her children. She knew of how important quality time one-on-one was with her children, and it was hard to do with 10 children. And yet, Susanna Wesley, she made a commitment that every night of her life, she would spend at least 1 hour with each child on a rotating basis, teaching them how to pray before they went to bed. So every night for an hour, she would lie in bed with one of her children, teaching them how to pray. And her prayers and the prayers of her children changed this world. How different would this world be without the prayers of Susanna Wesley? How different would the kingdom of God be without the prayers of faithful, dedicated mothers? Jesus says to us, this then is how you should pray. Let us pray. Good and gracious God, we are grateful not only for your teaching that challenges us, but also for the example of faithful people who have gone before us that show us how to live the life you've called us to live. As your children, lead us and guide us and continue to teach us how to pray. For we make this prayer in the precious and holy name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.